This episode is brought to you with the help from Newbility. Newbility is your go-to IT partner offering tailored solutions in talent acquisition, infrastructure support, network reliability, and cutting-edge AI. We help you stay ahead by turning technology into a strategic advantage for your business. Newbility, turning your challenges into powerful opportunities. All right, well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I'm Matthew Nickel, and today is the CCIW Student Athlete of the Week, Paige Melton, sophomore guard for the women's basketball team. So, Paige, thanks for joining me.
Of course, I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, this is take two. So we started off and it didn't, the first take didn't start recording. So we are off and running here. Well, hey, I want to start off by talking a little bit about just the recent game. Vikings went up to North Central as part of that doubleheader and, you know, came away with the loss. Vikings are 1-1 here in the conference, but, you know, coming out of Saturday, what were just some of the takeaways from that game?
I think one big thing was just we started out really slow. I don't know. It was just like our offense wasn't quite flowing the way that it has been. I don't know. There was just something a little bit off in that first half. And then after our, like, talk at halftime, I thought that we got back to, like, where we normally are. Our offense was more aggressive. Our defense was more disciplined. We weren't getting as many fouls. But then it just was too late, basically. Like, if we would have came out from the gate the way we played in the second half, I think it would have been a much better game.
Well, North Central's a good team, you know, as well. So, you know, it's kind of one of those games that you can't make a ton of mistakes. You know, you got to come out pretty hot early on, and, you know, a few things got to really kind of fall your way, you know, as well a little bit. And, but, you know, as I was watching the broadcast, you know, one of the things they kept talking about was the amount of fouls. And I went back because I'm really curious on it. I mean, 58 total fouls in that game, which was ridiculously high. You know, I want to say it was like 13 or 15 higher than I think North Central's kind of average home game. So definitely the referees, I think, influenced, you know, that game maybe a little bit too much. But, you know, what was kind of the sentiment in the game, and how do you, I mean, how do you kind of manage through that and adjust, like, your playing style or how aggressive maybe or not aggressive you are?
It's definitely, like, you know, you don't want to completely change what you're doing just because of the refs. The refs are calling for both sides. It can be frustrating, but it's not something that you can, like, kind of get stuck on. But in terms of, like, adjusting play, I think this is also something that helped us in the second half is we did a lot more attacking. If we know that they're going to call fouls, there's no reason not to go into the paint and try and draw a couple and get some free throws up. And then defensively wise, just staying disciplined and making sure that you get to your spot early instead of, like, you know, maybe if you meet them to the spot or you cut them off a little bit, maybe that'd be okay. But if the refs are really calling fouls, you got to be there. Like, make sure you're there fully before they get there. So just little things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I also, you know, one of the things I've noticed too is, you know, Coach Beinborn, he really continues to kind of coach in the moment on the sideline. And, you know, so I'm thinking a little bit about during that game. I mean, you'll always see him, he gets kind of animated, like, you know, he'll show here and he'll, like, do his slides and kind of talk through that. You know, how helpful is some of that stuff to get that kind of in-game, in the moment type of coaching?
For me, that's super helpful just because there's a lot of things that, like, I might not notice in the moment. You know, there's so much going on and maybe I'm thinking about, like, positioning or where my other teammate's at or who has the ball or where's the shooter, just who has the hot hand, everything like that. But there's sometimes things that I miss or something that could be frustrating that, like, maybe wasn't as bad. Like, maybe I didn't think that it was a foul. And he's like, you know what? You did get there late. But some of that's just kind of helpful to get out of your head right away instead of like thinking too much about things that have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. I mean, you're just a sophomore, but last year as a freshman, you played in 24 of the Vikings' 27 games. You're averaging about 10 or 11 minutes now. It's early in the year, but you're averaging 27 minutes per game right now. So, how's your body kind of feeling and reacting to that increased workload so far?
I have been fine with it so far. I know it's still early in the season, so come February it might be a little bit different. But I've always been someone who works out like all the time. Over the summer, most of the days I do two workouts throughout the day. So I'm used to a higher workload.
Good. Yeah, I mean, if you always worry, right, about that, the toll it can take, kind of late in the season, and just really kind of managing, aches and pains don't become injuries or things that really kind of nag, down the road. So, let's talk about the Elmhurst game. So, you had a career high 31 points, incredible achievement. What do you feel like really
Thank
kind of clicked, for you during the Elmhurst game?
you. I thought it was just like our offense was, I was just like kind of in the right spot at the right time. Not to say I didn't do any work to get the ball, but there was a lot of times where, my teammates were just able to create, and okay, now I have this good seal in the post, and I'm able to go to work down there one on one. And it was working for me that night.
Now, is there anything like, as you think about like preparation or kind of how you approach that game, was there anything that maybe stood out to you that kind of leading up to the game, like you felt, more prepared, well prepared, just kind of in a good headspace, or did it just kind of by happenstance, it just happened?
To be honest, it kind of just felt like a normal game going into it. I mean, like there's certain things that I do throughout the day, every game day, just to like make sure I'm ready. Like I make sure I get shooting in some time beforehand, or like I'll make sure I eat certain things for lunch. But I didn't really do anything that different that day, so.
Creature habit, right? That's what athletes are. Well, yeah, so you just mentioned it, like, walk me through, like, what, do you have a specific, like, lunch or kind of pre-game meal that you like to have, game day?
I don't usually eat like right before the games, but I do usually have some kind of turkey sandwich for lunch. And
You
some kind
play?
of coffee usually too throughout the day.
All right. Now, is it just kind of a plain black nothing in it type coffee, or?
Oh no, I'm not one of those.
Yeah.
Just whatever I'm feeling. Usually I really like seasonal drinks. Whatever the, like, right now is all the Christmas stuff, so peppermint mochas and all the festive drinks.
Yep. Well, it's good. Well, I always say too, like, having a little bit of a treat is just, it's a nice, like, mental, kind of uptick and kind of, put you in some really good kind of headspace there. And, but I was really, I was looking back to some key stats going back to, the 2001, 2002 season. So going back 24 seasons, that's just the 11th 30-point game by, a women's basketball player. So that's it's a pretty significant, stat when you go back and really kind of dig into it.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, there was I was actually messaging one of the North Central guys that helped like broadcast the game. And so one, they got the stat out during the game, which I thought was pretty cool. But he also mentioned, he said, "Oh, and thanks for reminding me of like the Kristen Fox 31-point game, because it came at senior day, so it was one of the last games of the year for him. And so someone on the North Central team was trying to score, needed 15, I think, or 13 to reach 1,000 points, and like they held her to 11.
Oh man.
Yeah, so all these big 30 plus games, I mean they come at some kind of momentous times. And now is that the highest you've ever had in a game, or kind of going back to your Moline and any type of like travel ball days?
Probably. I didn't do a lot of like keeping track of my stats for varsity in high school. My highest was like in the 20s somewhere. So maybe if we go back to like middle school or something, I have no idea. But as far as I know, it's my only 30-point game.
Nice. Well, so you grew up locally in Moline. Did you always have Augie kind of as a front runner when you were looking at colleges, or how did you kind of end up at Augie?
It's kind of funny because I did not want to go to Augie growing up. Both my brothers go to school there. Well, they're one of them's graduated now, but they both went to school there. And my mom works at Augie, and I was like, I just don't want to follow them. I love them. I don't want to follow them. But I went, my first college visit was to Augie, just because it was here, so I might as well. And then when I went on other visits after that, I just wasn't as impressed with like academics, especially. I also just really like the Quad City area. There's always something new. There's always things to do. And I'm also a homebody. I love coming home like on the weekends and watching football with my family and spending time with them. So, and it ended up being really great, and I really love the team too. That was another thing that really pulled me to Augie was something I was concerned about was, okay, if I go to this other school, sure, I could meet the coach and I could meet the players, but how much of that is them treating me different because I'm a recruit and they want me to come there? Where, I knew a lot of the girls from Augie, just from being local or being able to go watch their games. And I've known Coach B forever. I mean, I think I started going to the Augie camp when I was in third grade, the summer camp. So I knew what I was coming into, and I really liked that as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I was, looking at this roster, it's like, there's a ton of familiar faces from the area. I mean, you played with Cadence Tatum, at Moline, so you kind of reunited with her. But there's a lot of former competitors that are now teammates. So you played against Lexi Hayes in the IH Mississippi Valley Shootout when she's at Assumption. Audrey Erickson from Alleman, and then Tia Lewis and Sierra Hall from UT. So how has that been, like building relationships, with, folks that previously, you were competing against?
It was kind of like it wasn't that big of a deal. Over the summer we had a lot of open gyms. So it was kind of a good bridge between like teammates and competitors because sometimes we're on the same team, sometimes we're against each other. I don't know, but it was kind of a good in between. And also I've played with a lot of them for AAU. So Jazzy and Lexi were on my AAU team, and then there was one year that Tia, Audrey, and I think Sierra were all like in the same program. So sometimes we would practice against them and we go to the same tournaments and everything like that. So I was used to seeing them outside of like just them being on the other team. So it wasn't too difficult, but it's been nice to like actually get to know them a little bit better.
It's funny you say that because when I was being recruited there my senior year in high school, for football, when I went and I did my weekend stay, everybody I was being introduced to were the best players from my conference. So again, kind of having that bridge and that relationship that you can build on, kind of the same thing. I mean, it ultimately felt like, hey, this is home for me. And you don't always get that going to a new program. You're truly a new person with no network. So certainly a lot to be said. And I was telling Coach Beinborn, There's a nice like local recruit, kind of feeder pool, to Augustana, which I think is huge. It's a nice connection to the community, and but again, a lot of familiar faces. Now, I was looking online, and so in some non-basketball type stuff, it looks like you did track and field at Moline. Is that right?
I did.
So if I got this right, so you did the pole vault, you've done discus, shot put, and triple jump. Is that all correct? So,
That
all right, internet did not fail me then.
is
So what track and field event did you kind of enjoy the most?
I really liked triple jump. I don't know what it was about it. Everyone liked long jump because it's easier because you only jump once. But I don't know. Triple jump, I was just better at it and it was fun. And then discus, I didn't actually start doing discus until my senior year. I just wanted to try something different. I don't know. And I had like so much fun getting to know all the throwers. The throwing coach was absolutely amazing. And yeah. Discus was super fun.
Well, I mean, hey, you've got the sixth longest throw in Moline Maroon history, so at 120 feet, 7.5 inches. So,
Well, my coach never told me that.
yeah, at least according to whatever website I found on the dark web last night, it showed sixth. It had like 15th in pole vault, sixth in Moline, and 13th in the shot put. So,
That's cool.
top 20 records, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'll have to reach out to the track coach.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, hey, you're degree-wise, you're a communication sciences and disorder major. So, what led you down that path?
So, coming in, I didn't really know what I wanted to study. So I was thinking either elementary education because I really like kids and I don't know, it just seemed kind of fun. And then I also really like kinesiology, just like sports. And I think that I was interested in the one-on-one kind of work and getting to know the person that you're working with. And so I took a class for both of those and I liked them, but I just didn't feel like it was the right fit. So then I went to like our career center at Augie, had a couple meetings, and they're like, "Hey, you know what? I think you might like CSD." So then one of my friends at the time, who's my roommate now, was a CSD major and she loved the program and the people in the program. So then I took a class in the spring to kind of test it out, and it was great. So now that's what I'm doing.
When I read that, I actually chuckled because it was my beginning of my junior year. I was a communication speech comm major, and I ended up signing up for a class that was under communication sciences and disorder. And it was like the third or fourth class like into the program. And there were some prerequisites. I remember just kind of sitting down and everybody looking at me like nobody's ever seen me before. I had zero idea what they were talking about. So finally, by about the third class, I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. So I think this is the wrong communications class. So it brought back some kind of memories that I tell my wife about that last night. Now, with the holidays coming up, the Vikings kind of finished the pre-holiday schedule on the road. You're going to be up to, in Wisconsin Dells, then you'll get about 2.5 weeks off. What are your plans kind of over the Christmas and New Year's holiday break?
Well, of course, lots of basketball is going to be involved in that. But for our time that we get off for Christmas, we host Christmas at my house. So, my grandparents, my aunt and uncle, and then some of my friends will just come over. So I'm really looking forward to that and getting to see everybody. Other than that, for Christmas, we don't have any like crazy, like not normal traditions that we do. But I'm a big fan of like the little cheesy Christmas things. I like making cookies, I like watching movies, I like looking at Christmas lights, just all of the things like that.
Favorite holiday movie then that you like to watch?
Ooh. Maybe the Polar Express. The
Ooh, that's a good
animation's a
one.
little bit weird, but it's really nostalgic, and I like the like I don't know, it just makes you feel like a kid and like the magic of Christmas, and it's cute.
Polar Express, that's a great one. Now, growing up, what was probably your favorite present you've ever got?
Ooh. Oh, this should have been easy. My dog. When I was in sixth grade, we got like, so we had a big dog when I was growing up. And then for Christmas, my cousin would, like, we would watch my cousin's dog, who was this little dog. And like, we would just have so much fun with this little dog. So then my parents one year were like, you know, we're gonna have this gigantic, like, 110-pound dog, and then we're gonna get a little 15-pound dog to go along with him. Because why not? So, yeah, we got him for Christmas when I was in sixth grade. He's
Nice.
great.
Nice. Now, over the holiday break, I mean, is there going to be anything different a little bit about this year than last year around, like, getting in workout, kind of over that time, and how do you kind of stay fresh? It's like you want to recharge, right, on one hand, but how do you kind of stay fresh and ready, coming out of the holiday break?
Something that's a little bit different with our practice schedule this year is like last year we had some 2 2.5 hour break or practices over break. This year we're breaking them apart, and we have a lot of like a 1 hour practice in the morning and then maybe a 1.5 in the afternoon. So that's going to be different, but I think it'll be good because I haven't talked to coach about this yet, but I'm guessing one of them is going to be like more playing, scrimmaging, kind of fun, but like live. And then the other one will be more like skill work, fine tuning the offense, defense, everything like that. And then for getting stuff in on my own, the gym's pretty much always open over break. So if I'm bored, I'll probably be in there. And then I also like doing, I'll probably get some like longer runs in. Just to mix it up, you know, keep the fitness going, but take a little bit of a break from basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so looking ahead, this Saturday, the Vikings host, Carthage here at 2 o'clock. It's part of the doubleheader here. You guys won the last matchup last year, 78-68, kind of here at home. Kind of a 4-game win streak against the Firebirds. So, what can you kind of expect for Carthage on Saturday?
I haven't gotten a chance to look at their roster yet for this year, so I'm not sure how different it is from last year. But I just think like as long as we're taking like we've faced a little bit of everything so far this season. We've faced teams that are bigger than us, faster, more physical. We've faced presses and zones. Like we faced a little bit of everything. So I think as long as we can identify personnel, you know who you're guarding and what their strengths are. And then also just taking what we've learned from previously in the season and being able to apply it right out of the gate. Carthage is a good team, but I think we'll be able to have a good game with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Paige, again, thanks again for connecting with me here today. A reminder to those watching, so Saturday is another doubleheader, men's and women's. Again, we talked about Carthage, women's kicking off at 2, and men's shortly after about 4:15. So, but again, Paige, thanks for joining me today, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.